Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Ollie and Olga had been married a very long time. But Olga was starving to death from a lack of affection. So at her wit's end, one day, Olga finally says to Ollie, "Ollie, why don't you ever tell me that you love me?" Ollie stoically responded, "Olga, when we were married on our wedding day, I told you that I loved you. If I ever change my mind, I will let you know." How do we explain love? Well, let me try it with a comic strip from Peanuts. That the author of the comic strip, Charles Schulz, died in the year 2000, so I realize that there are some people here that might not be a fan or aware of the comic strip Peanuts, which featured Lucy, Charlie Brown, the beagle named Snoopy, Linus Schroeder, Peppermint Patty. Anyway, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "You know what I don't understand? I don't understand love." Charlie says, "Who does?" But Lucy says, "Explain love to me, Charlie Brown." He says, "You can't explain love. I can recommend a book or a poem or a painting, but I cannot explain love." Lucy counters, "Well, try, Charlie Brown, try." So Charlie answers, "Well, let's say I see this beautiful, cute girl walk by." Lucy interrupts, "Why does she have to be cute, huh? Why can't you fall in love with someone with freckles and a big nose? Explain that." So Charlie tries to answer, "Well, maybe, Lucy, you are right. Okay, let's say I see this girl walk by with this great big nose." Lucy says, "I didn't say great big nose." Charlie shrugs his shoulders and says, "You not only can't explain love, you can't even talk about it." That being the case, I think my sermon's over. Because Jesus uses the word love in this gospel to describe the heart of our relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. And Jesus says the love of God is the first and the greatest commandment. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then he goes on and quotes from Leviticus. And he says, there's a second one that's like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So in sharing these two commandments, to love God and to love self and others, we've also just now heard Jesus's mission and ministry. And in the second half of that gospel, we also hear Jesus's identity. He is the Messiah. So we hear his mission and ministry. He is saying to us, "This is how I orient my entire life. I'm asking that of you." So when Jesus says to love God, we can't love God without loving what God loves. So to love God, we also love what God loves, which means to love God is to love everyone without distinction. To love God is to love what God loves, which means everything, all people, all creation. which means for those hearing this gospel 2,000 years ago, Jesus is saying, beyond the people of Israel. To love that way, how do we explain love? So let's go back to Ollie and Olga. So we hear that Olga wants to hear words. She just doesn't want actions. She wants to hear, I love you. Ollie apparently doesn't need to use words. He just does love his way. Lucy doesn't like Charlie Brown's answer. It's not as precise. It's not from her perspective. And Charlie Brown gives up. How do you explain love? Even when I say the word love, all of you are processing that word your own way. You're probably thinking and feeling at the same time. Thinking for yourself, examples of love. Thinking for yourself how you would talk about love. Or you might be feeling love about someone. But all of you here are processing, filtering this word love as you. Each of us has different personalities and temperaments. Years ago, two psychologists wanted to help us understand and appreciate our differences. And so Dr. Myers and Dr. Briggs came up with a personality indicator test to help us recognize we're not all the same. We're going to speak differently and act differently. And God calls us to be together, even with these differences. So these differences include, for instance, some of you are introverts. You get your energy when you're away from people, when you have downtime. Some of you are extroverts. You go to a party and you become energized. You're with a group of people and you feel alive. Introvert, extrovert. So we get information from our world and from others. How do we process it? Some of us process it from within. We are intuitive. We need to use our gut before we can react. Others react because what's out there is what they need to be able to deal with an answer. They're not intuitive, they're sensates. And then we have this information. How do we use it? How do we process it? Do we go through our head as a thinker and analyze and it's literal, or do we process from our heart? We start from within and work out. And then lastly, some of us don't want to make a decision right away. I'll get back to you. And so we are open-ended. Others need an answer right now. When are you going to call me? When are we going to meet for lunch? Open-ended, and those who need to bring things to closure. So we have these different styles of being in the world, our different ways of reacting to the world, of processing from within or processing from our head. Some of us are a combination of both. Some of us have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Some of us move from here to the other side. But all of us have different personalities and temperaments. And so we relate to each other differently. We even pray differently. There is a book on prayer styles for different temperaments. Some people want to use words. Other people want to sit in silence. Some people need to walk to engage their body. Some just want to be alone in a moment. So all different ways to to be in this world, and with all the differences that we are, God says to all of us, Jesus says, love God with all that you are, all your mind, your soul, your heart. Whatever your way is, the invitation, in fact, it's more than an invitation, it's a command. Love God first. However you are in the world, whatever decisions you need to make, whoever you're going to meet this day, whatever activities you're involved in, Jesus is saying, orient your entire life with the love of God first. The love of God first. And Jesus is saying, you've got to love yourself so you can love your neighbors. If you have nothing in the well of your heart to give, what are you giving? And that well is the most deeply rooted in God's love for you. That is first. God has loved you. That's why we can love God. So I would like to invite that today can be a tune-up on love. Where are you in your life with your orientation with God, self, and others? What do you need to do in order to live and love in a more balanced way? What needs to change so Jesus' commandment is now primary? So what will happen if you take this commandment seriously? Can you imagine the ripple effect? And what situations in the world, community, in your family, and in yourself will become transformed? Think about those questions and talk about them. Do a tune-up with a friend or your partner or spouse and say, how are we doing? Do I need to say to you, I love you more often than I do? And if the partner says, well, it's always worked before, you know, then it's time to say, our temperaments are different. I love you, but let's try to balance with God first, loving self second, reaching out to others third. So this sermon, this gospel, is dealing with love wholeheartedly with all of you. So today, do you need to say to someone, I love you? But we begin to be able to even enter the energy of love because of God's love. So I'd like to end with inviting you to breathe. Breathe in the word God. Inhale deeply the word God. Exhale the word love. Inhale the word God, taking it from your mind to your heart, and exhale the word love. Amen.